The Maria Sanchez Show, a conversation, not a confrontation. On MariaSanchezShow.com.
Hi, this is Maria Sanchez, and welcome to the Maria Sanchez Show, and thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your time. And we usually focus on inspirational stories, current events, newsmakers, lifestyle, health, relationships, and as much good news as possible. Today, we're making a little bit of an exception. We're helping to get the word out about a protest that's going to be happening here in Southern California. And we have Lauren Steiner as our guest. She describes herself as a grassroots political activist. And no matter what side of the equation you're on, you should know what's going on and what has happened. So Lauren has agreed to help us with in terms of the information and specifically with the Supreme Court ruling earlier on June 30th and what that means. So Lauren, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us and look forward to our conversation.
Thank you.
So, Lauren, before we go into the specifics about what is going to be happening on Monday, July 7th in Los Angeles at the Hobby Lobby in Burbank, why don't you tell us what does it mean to you being a grassroots political activist? How does that look on a day-to-day basis in Lauren Steiner's life?
Well, it's interesting, Maria, because I consider this Act 3 in my life. In my 20s and 30s, I was pretty much focused on my career, and I ran public access cable TV stations, the last one being in Beverly Hills. And in the 90s, I was a stay-at-home mom, focusing on just being the best mother I could for my kids. And really, in after 9/11, when Bush started making noises about invading Iraq, I got back into political activism again, because I, like the rest of the country, was dubious about the weapons of mass destruction, and I didn't want to see us going into another costly war that would kill a lot of people. So that was the first thing I got involved with, but I've always been an environmentalist, and I would say the thing that I'm working on now is to try to ban fracking, hydraulic fracturing for oil in the state of California. And I'm also working against the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is a trade agreement that's been negotiated in secret for the last 5 years that would basically outsource a lot more high-paying American jobs and would make local, state, and federal regulations moot, because corporations, through these trade tribunals, would actually have more power than government. So it's a threat to national sovereignty as well. I'm also fighting the FCC's plan to get rid of net neutrality, which is a design principle that keeps the internet free and open. Right now, all of us can access the internet on the same basis, for the same cost, for the same speed, and they're actually thinking of creating a pay-to-play or two-tiered system where corporations who could pay more would have higher speeds and the slow lane would be relegated to everyone else, which certainly affects bloggers and activists, you know, like myself. So this women's reproductive rights has always been an important issue to me, but not a central issue. And I just found out about this protest last week. It was sent to me by some friends of mine who know that I'm a good organizer and asked if I could help. So that's
so. When you lend your hand, or you a particular passion that you have, how do you approach the cause? Does it depend? Or is there kind of a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that it doesn't matter what the topic is, it's about galvanizing people, getting awareness, and getting people to pay attention?
Well, you know, I do the inside strategy and the outside strategy. The inside strategy being I organize a lot of citizen lobby meetings with representatives. For instance, when they were threatening to cut food stamps, I organized a meeting with Henry Waxman, who's my U.S. congressman. I'm organizing a meeting right now with the chairman of the Senate, the State Senate Appropriations Committee, about a bill that's trying to cut community choice energy systems, which gives a municipality an opportunity to buy electricity directly from a solar provider or wind provider, bypassing the utility, who would still be distributing the energy and billing for the energy, but it actually saves money anywhere from 3 to 7% for the ratepayers. And so I work with a lot of coalitions, national coalitions, statewide coalitions. And so I, for instance, talk about a day in the life. Last week, on a Sunday, a week ago today, I drove down to electric car fair that this committee chairman, Kevin DeLeon, was speaking at so that I could ask him in person for this meeting. And that took me 45 minutes to get there, a half an hour I spent there, and 45 minutes back. And then the outside strategy is basically to plan protests. The most recent one I did was for net neutrality, and it was at the local FCC office, and it was part of a series of actions at FCC offices around the country, and this one was coordinated by Move On, and I was asked by one of their staff members to get involved. So what I do is I usually set up a Facebook page. I promote it to, I invite my personal friends who I know are activists and politically inclined. I post the Facebook event page in other groups that relate to the issue. And, you know, I also write press releases, which is the one that you got about today's event. And, you know, try to get speakers, try to get something interesting that the TV media would like to watch. For instance, this protest tomorrow, I've drove into Venice to get the vagina costume from Code Pink.
Which we'll go into in just a little bit. But if you're confused by Lauren's statements about what's happening, it's because we're speaking on Sunday, July 6th. The event is on Monday, July 7th. So depending on when you're downloading and listening to this, that's where it's coming from. I just wanted to clarify that. So do you feel alone, Lauren, in your efforts? Because largely you're at the beginning of most of these causes that you mentioned in terms of fracking or Trans-Pacific Partnership or women's reproductive rights. Or do you feel like you're on the cutting edge? Or, I mean, how do you get your strokes?
I mean, not at all. Over 587 organizations in civil society have already written to President Obama about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Over 3 million comments were received by the FCC regarding their rules to end net neutrality. 69% of Californians posed want to see Jerry Brown ban fracking in California. So I'm really hardly at the cutting edge. I think most of the opinions that I hold are the majority opinions, but it's very hard to tell that when you just watch mainstream news coverage.
And yet the right always calls the news left-leaning.
Well, yes, that's part of their strategy. And to some extent it works. I mean, they've got PBS on the run right now to the point where PBS, who actually gets money from the Natural Gas Association, is running more stories that have a pro-fracking slant than an anti-fracking slant, despite all the science that is out there about the dangers of fracking to both human health and the environment. So I hardly see the mainstream media, even MSNBC. There are certain subjects they don't touch because they're owned by General Electric. So you'll never see them, you know, criticizing any of the war or stories that would affect General Electric's business. That's why net neutrality is so important, because independent media of both the left and the right utilizes the internet to basically tell their stories directly to the public and, you know, not have it be filtered through reporters or producers who are primarily concerned about ratings. I mean, that's the reason why more people vote in American Idol than they do in elections that affect their lives, because of all the trivia and infotainment that is, you know, put on these media outlets. And I'm not, you know, present company accepted. I know that's not the purpose of your show. So,
You know, it's interesting that you said that, because I didn't take offense, because that's what blogging and podcasting is all about. You know, I'm a firm believer, and this is what kind of inspires me about what you do, whether or not we agree politically or morally, is that one voice, one vote, one paycheck, what we do, what we say, and how we spend our money matters. And a lot of people don't own that. They just feel like they're, you know, in the masses. And I'm like, no, you actually make a difference, you, whomever you are. So I appreciate your point of view in that regard, and thank you for that, though. So let's get into the Supreme Court ruling, and then which was with a Burwell and Hobby Lobby Stores, Inc., which was brought by two Christian families and their businesses. Do you want to go into the basis of the suit and then what the Supreme Court ruled and then why you're promoting this protest?
Well, you know, like I told you before we started the interview, I do not consider myself a legal expert in any way. I did not study law in college, so I only really know, you know, what I've read in the press. But my understanding is that this decision was brought because this Christian family did not feel they should be subject to providing four forms of birth control, which they consider abortificants. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right.
Fascience,
yes,
is my guess, but who knows?
Yes, which they consider, now, every article that I've read about it says that's not the case, that they do not prevent the implantation of a fertilized egg. They stop it from being fertilized. So, you know, it's a fine line, and people can argue about that. But my thing is, you know, I do not believe that life begins at conception. And therefore, I believe that women have a right to choose and have rights over their own bodies. And basically, back to the decision, what they said was this is a 5-4 decision. There's a very conservative majority on the Supreme Court, and there have been a lot of 5-4 decisions since John Roberts has taken over, and most of them have favored business. On another show, I could bone up and give you a whole litany of these cases that favor business. But, you know, the ones that I'm most familiar with are Citizens United and the McCutcheon case, because they are the cases that basically said that corporations are people and corporations should not be restricted in the amount of money they spent on political ads, which has a terrible effect on our democracy, because obviously corporations have a lot of money and they can affect the decisions of the way people vote with that money. And this goes back to a decision called Buckley versus Valeo back in 1972, where they said that money equals speech. So this is building on a body of law that this particular Supreme Court has embraced, this decision. And what they've extended it to say is that corporations, closely held corporations, have the rights of religious freedom of expression. Or religious exercise, I think that's what it's called. So now not only are corporations people, but they have religious rights. And as such, they said that Hobby Lobby could, deny women these four forms of contraception under Obamacare.
And I should clarify that what they meant by closely held companies means five or fewer people own 50% or more of a company, just for those folks who are not aware of what that meant, as you're referring to.
I don't know if that's the case, because what I've been reading, and according to Justice Ginsburg, who I think is a brilliant jurist, closely held does not equal small. Cargill, for instance, is the number one private company. The Koch brothers are the number two private company, by the way, but Cargill has 140,000 workers. So this decision was not, they're trying to say that it was very narrowly construed and then it's not going to apply to other religious issues. But to be honest, the very next day, this court went back to, directed the lower courts to open up, to rehear all the other cases from corporations that objected to providing any forms of contraception, even the birth control pill, which many people know is used by many women for their own health, not just for birth control, but for endometriosis and for anemia and other sorts of issues. And the other thing that happened is on Thursday, the justices told Wheaton College, which is a Christian college, that they didn't even have to fill in the form, that they could fill in to avoid, to get back to it, originally, because not-for-profit institutions such as colleges and churches had objected to this requirement of Obamacare, so they made a workaround that said, okay, if you object, fill out this form, and we will make sure that you don't have to provide the contraception, but that the insurance companies will, and they will do it free of charge. So Wheaton College didn't even want that. They just don't want their employees getting birth control. So their cases being going up the courts, and the Supreme Court said that they don't have to fill in this form. So I think it really shows the bias of this particular Supreme Court.
Well, and you made a good clarification, Lauren, with the closely held, because just because a company is closely held doesn't mean that it's a small company. There are companies that are closely held that employ tens of thousands of folks, as you mentioned. Right. So a lot of us, and me included, until you clarified what I said, assume that a closely held company means that it's kind of a ma-and-pa kind of sort of thing.
Exactly.
So that's not the truth. So let's get to the event. It's Monday, July 7th from noon to 2 o'clock at the Hobby Lobby Burbank's grand opening, which is on the corner of Burbank and Victory Boulevards. And what do you expect, and what are you calling it, and who's going to be involved?
Well, we have a little bit of an irreverent title that we're calling it Condom Condemn Hobby Lobby at their grand opening. And, mm-hmm. you know, my feeling is a lot of people are protesting Hobby Lobby. I feel my ire is more directed at the Supreme Court, because I really feel that they are the ones who are charged with interpreting the law of the land. And in this country, we have had a clear separation of church and state since our founding. That's what our founding fathers wanted to see. And this kind of decision really puts that into jeopardy. They have gone against decades, if not two centuries, of settled law and precedents with this type of case. So while a lot of people are very upset with Hobby Lobby and will be their signs will be directed against them, I want to make sure that it's very clear that the Supreme Court is the one, or additionally, should be protested. So people are going to have signs that say all sorts of things, and people are encouraged to dress creatively. I have this code pink costume that looks like a vagina and basically says, read my lips, no war on women, which a lot of people think this is a war on women, because this law does not apply to vasectomies. I mean, they can still cover their their male employees' vasectomies and even their Viagra prescriptions. So It's a very misogynist decision, I believe, and it's hypocritical, because Mother Jones magazine broke the story this past spring that Hobby Lobby has millions, their 401k has millions invested in the very companies that manufacture the IUD and the morning after pill. So what do you think of that one?
It's definitely murky water, and I'll be curious to see what kind of attention you get, because I'm assuming your costume alone is going to make some news, let alone the amount of folks that you get to come out. Your Facebook page, how do you want to promote?
Hello?
Did you want to promote your Facebook page?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of hard to... Well, I guess if you just go into Facebook and you start in the search bar and you start typing the word condom, condemn, the protest will come up. And okay. You can see all the enthusiastic responses that people have posted, and the chants that people plan to say, and signs they plan to bring. And I just encourage people to come and express their viewpoints about this decision. Because I think, like you said, it is important for people to make their voices known. There's a wonderful YouTube video called The Story of... Well, it's the second video by the producer of The Story of Self. Story of Self?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, Annie Leonard. And I think it's called this... Oh, no, The Story of Stuff. Okay, so if you go to The Story of Stuff, you'll see the second video. And her point is that Americans are great at exercising their consumer muscle, but they don't really do a good job of exercising their citizen muscle. And the point is that if our representatives do not hear from us, they are going to be listening to those corporate lobbyists that are, installed in Washington, D.C. and going to their offices every day. So it's really important whether you are the type of person to go out to protest or participate in a city lobby, citizens lobby meeting with your representative, such as I described. It's really important that you somehow make your voice known, whether it's signing a petition, calling, writing, faxing your representative, and certainly voting. We have the smallest proportion of people that vote in any of the democratic countries, and it's really horrible considering how hard, you know, certain groups have fought for the right to vote. And in other countries, people are still fighting for the right to vote and have a democracy. And our democracy has really been taken over by corporations and billionaires like the Koch brothers, who can spend the most money. They're spending $400 million in the 2014 election, which doubles what they spent in the 2012 election, making them as large, almost as large as the two political parties. And they definitely have an agenda. But I know this isn't a political show, so I won't elaborate on that.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, Lauren. But again, we have a similar theme, you and I, in that if you don't vote, you really can't say much about what's going on. I mean, yes, you have an opinion, and yes, we have the freedom to express it. But really, let's start with the polls so that the folks that are in the House that makes decisions actually represent the majority of us, not the minority of us.
Yeah, and it's
because it is the minority that votes, and it's really reprehensible.
What do you mean, the minority?
Well, most people don't vote.
Oh, okay, okay.
So that they, therefore, those folks that are elected in the states and in on the federal level really are representing the minority of people because they were put there by the minority who voted.
Right.
Not, I'm not talking fringe. I'm saying in sheer numbers.
Right.
I mean, the primaries that just occurred last month, it was abysmal.
Abysmal.
I mean, it's so I hope we're not preaching to the choir, but anything else you'd like to add, Lauren? I appreciate you taking the time and making the time.
Well, I would just say, you know, stay informed. It's also important for people to stay informed and try to go beyond what you see on television news. You know, read a newspaper, those that are still being published. I know that the internet has caused a lot of journalists to lose their jobs because everybody's plying their craft for free now on the internet. But they still do have some of the best investigative reporters. I particularly enjoy reading the LA Times and the New York Times, and even the Wall Street Journal, as long as it's not their editorial page, has some very good reporting. And I just think it's important to stay informed and make your voice known. Otherwise, it's really difficult to complain and be taken seriously.
And I couldn't agree with you more. So, Lauren Steiner, thank you so much. And look forward to hearing what happens on, again, it's Monday, July 7th from noon to 2 o'clock at the Hobby Lobby's Burbank Grand Opening. And again, that's on the corner of Burbank and Victory Boulevard. So thank you, Lauren.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you for the interview.
You're welcome. And this is Maria Sanchez thanking you for listening and hoping you're helping to make our world a better place.
Talking, so call Maria. Her show is killer. You won't believe it, darling. There's long time listeners and first time callers. They love Maria, that's why they keep saying, and we're gonna get loud, but we're gonna get close. She's here and she's gone. She's gonna help you figure it out.